Dr. Iskia, you are working on a world-first trial on a treatment for COVID-19. I will thank you to explain the treatment to our listeners.
I can. So I'm a urologist and surgeon scientist, and I work at the University of Melbourne. And my area of specialty has been zinc and its ability to protect organs against some of the damage that we do during surgery. And we were getting ready to do a trial looking at my area of specialty when the COVID-19 outbreak came out. So what we found was that, in fact, we were in a perfect position to suddenly get together a team to give the zinc that we've been investigating to these patients. And so what will happen is patients will be randomized in our hospital who come in with a COVID-19 diagnosis to either have zinc in as a treatment once per day or placebo, which means that they don't get any active drug at all. So this is a world-first randomized trial looking at whether zinc will be effective. Now, one of the reasons that we've become so interested in zinc in the COVID-19 crisis is because it appears to play several roles that might be important in the development of the disease. So I can run through some of those. And the first would be that it inhibits the virus being able to replicate itself once it gets into the body. It also, zinc seems to have an anti-inflammatory effect. We know this is an important part of the COVID-19 illness in that you get a real surge of your inflammatory markers. We call it a cytokine storm. And in fact, zinc may play a role in calming that down so you don't get as well. We've certainly seen in studies that have been done even 15 years ago with patients that had respiratory distress, so they had real difficulties with their breathing, and that was actually for pneumonias, that zinc reduced the amount of time they spent on ventilators and improved their recovery. So there's several mechanisms that might work, and I guess one of the final mechanisms we're interested in is that one of the ways that the COVID-19 virus gets into cells is via a receptor on the surface of the cell, which is called the ACE2 receptor, and that is very much a zinc-dependent receptor, and that means that it relies on zinc as part of the machinery that helps that receptor do what it does in the cells, and that's the receptor that the virus is using to get into the cell. So we think that there's several reasons that zinc may be useful. And obviously, we have the anecdotes of hydroxychloroquine, which is considered one possible treatment for COVID-19. That one of its mechanisms of action is that it makes cells take up more zinc. So there's lots of really good reasons for us to investigate it. And one of the strengths of doing this trial is that it's important that we notice when we compare it to the placebo. So it's not just giving people the treatment and then hoping that it works. What you can do is, the importance of randomized trials is that you compare it to what is the standard of care. And at the moment, apart from supportive measures of keeping people comfortable and helping them with their breathing, we don't have any drug that has definitely been proven to be effective. Now, there's lots of trials going on, and we're really interested to see the results of these antiviral therapies and whether hydroxychloroquine will actually be useful. But none of them have given us any clear signal yet that there's a definite one that's going to work. And I think it makes our trial an exciting prospect to see if zinc might actually be useful.
Dr. Iskia, in the report about the trial, it's mentioned that COVID-19 could damage vital organs in body, and zinc could protect these organs from damage. Which organs are mainly targeted and damaged by COVID-19, and how does this mechanism work? Of course, you mentioned some of them, but generally, how does this new treatment could protect these organs against COVID-19?
Yeah, so that now plays into my area of specialty, which is protecting organs against a lack of oxygen. So one of the main reasons that COVID-19 is so dangerous is that we have a lot of trouble keeping the oxygen levels up in the blood. So patients just can't get enough oxygen into their system. And what then happens is if you don't have enough oxygen circulating around the body, your organs such as your kidney or your liver or your bowel, they can start to suffer from a lack of oxygen reaching them. And what we have as doctors, we have this term called ischemia, which is a fancy way of saying a lack of adequate blood supply carrying oxygen. And these organs become damaged due to a lack of oxygen. Now, what we've found is, with my studies, is that if we give zinc before we subject organs to ischemia, and the organs we've looked at are the kidney, the liver, and in fact the heart, that we can reduce the amount of damage that that ischemia causes, or the lack of blood, by over 70%. So that's why, and we've done that in preclinical studies, which is our way of saying before it gets to humans. We've done it in mice, rats, and sheep, and in fact have shown there's really impressive results if you give just the right dose at just the right time. That's taken us a while to get that timing and dose right. One of the key things we found is that whenever we tried to give the zinc orally, it just doesn't get to a high enough dose. You just can't possibly absorb enough zinc. So one thing that we've been very careful to, one message from the trial has been that we don't want people out there taking high doses of zinc orally that you would buy from the shop. It just doesn't work. In fact, before you would get anywhere near the levels of zinc that we've been achieving by giving it in through a drip, people become very unwell. So you know, that's what happens when you take the dose that high. But giving it intravenously, it actually appears to be very safe. And the reason is that your gut just can't absorb it. And in fact, it makes you feel sick before you get the benefit.
Yeah. When will the trial begin and how long will it take? And when are the results expected to be out for the trial?
That is a great question. So the trial is ready to recruit, meaning we are either today or tomorrow, we will recruit our first patient. The great news for Australia is that the number of cases that we were expecting to see has not happened. So it means, and I think this is due to the strong leadership from the government, both state and federal, and our chief medical officer, these lockdown measures have been extremely effective. And what that means is that where we had these disaster scenarios of the hospitals being overwhelmed by COVID-19 cases, it hasn't materialised yet. And I think this is largely due to these extraordinary isolation measures that we're using. So it's where we initially thought this would be a trial that we would recruit over 2 to 3 months. It might be that it takes a lot longer, and I think that's actually great news, because that means that Australia is not going to suffer the fate of New York or Northern Italy, because we've learned so much from our colleagues over there and the best way to manage this. So I think, so it's unfortunate for the trial, but absolutely great for Australia that we're not seeing this overwhelming influx of COVID-19 patients with the current measures that we have in place. So I think what we will see is, we probably will see cases continue to come in because it's a highly infectious disease. And this is one thing, the zinc is not a prevention method. You know, that will be done by vaccines or other studies that are going on with our infectious diseases colleagues. Zinc really aims to reduce the symptoms of somebody who's unwell enough that they need to come into hospital. And a trial conducted in hospital in a safe environment where we can measure that the drug is safe and that it's working is the right place to test it. So at the moment, I cannot answer exactly when it will be finished, just because we've had such great results from our government-led social isolation policies. And I think that is wonderful news for us. Okay, I think that obviously the trial will take longer, but the fact that Australia is doing such a good job, we've got great leadership, we've got great infectious diseases doctors, respiratory doctors, intensive care physicians who are leading a really cohesive message of control, which is leading to this controlling the disease so that we don't have the outbreaks. Now, that doesn't mean that we should start doing that. We've got to continue to follow the great advice that's coming from our leaders. And I think that if we were to relax and start going back, and we had, you know, you look at the reasons that it broke out in Italy, it might have been related to a soccer match where a few people had it and it spread so rapidly. when you have people that start to get back together. So this is going to be one of the great dilemmas for our leaders: is when do you start to relax the restrictions? And this will go on for a while until we have a vaccine. So I think, you know, even with our best modelling, we were looking at a peak in around July. So we're still probably a couple of months where we will have a slow burn, but it's certainly not going to be the hundreds and hundreds of people being admitted every day to hospitals around Victoria or Australia with the current measures. But as I said, it's still very unpredictable because we don't have a good idea of what happens when you start to open up your economy again. So once you start to relax the restrictions, what happens then? So Singapore is a great example of how they managed it really well. And as soon as they start to open up, they noticed a little spike in their cases again. I think that's inevitable. So we will see patients continue to come in. If people feel unwell, it's really important that they go see their local doctors or go to a hospital for testing, because that is what's going to be essential to controlling this disease and keeping the levels where they are currently.